Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oh, I'm glad that you realize. Oh, I'm glad that you read the signs. Oh, I'm glad you can see my eyes and hear me when I tell you that you better walk out that door. Yes, you better not come here no more. Yes, you better stay away from me tonight. Yeah, you best not come around when you know I'm around. Yes, you better stay away from me for life. Yeah, I don't want to see
no
you
way,
around
no way.
Here.
Stop. Right. We're in now.
We're in?
Yeah.
G'day. Welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas. I feel like I could have sung that song forever.
Yeah?
Which, as we all know, is a long, long time, Alistair.
Well, life has been long already. And boy,
and it feels like I've been singing that for most of it.
Look, you know, Andy, I didn't mind it so much. Call me a man with an open mind. That's not what I...
Alistair, you're a man with an open mind.
I asked you to call me that. And so the compliment didn't feel as good as it could have. So we already mentioned that we're going to be talking about coming up with five sketch ideas.
We did.
I know, but sometimes, you know, like somebody listens to the things, but they were, you know, like sometimes they say you should listen to the words in between the words.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's stick some words in there in between the words, you just know? Repeating
read
what the words
the
were.
Lines. You should read between the lines.
Read between
right?
the lines.
So people say that sometimes. Maybe while you were saying it, people were reading between the lines and then they missed what you actually said. And so I was repeating it for the people who were reading between
read
the lines.
Read between the lines, but please also read the lines.
Read the lines, don't forget.
Actually, when you look at an exercise book, if you read between the lines, that's where the words are.
Yeah, that's true.
I think what they were trying to say is...
essentially the lined paper format.
Read the words.
Yeah.
Get your eyes out of the margin. Stop looking at that date bit up in the corner there.
No, don't look at that. Read between the lines.
Stop obsessing over the contact, the beautiful... dinosaur multicolored contact.
I'm not focusing on the part in which I'm trying
the
to
words,
communicate with
exactly
you.
The words that are written down and nothing else.
Between the lines.
Between the lines.
Yeah. So is that a sketch?
No.
No? Okay. Mm. Well, onwards and onwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So
onwards and forwards is a thing that I like to say sometimes.
And is it because it's the other way around?
No.
Is it forwards and onwards?
No, it's neither of those things. It's onwards and upwards, but I like to say onwards and forwards.
Okay.
Because it makes it sound like you're repeating yourself and you're actually not getting anywhere.
But
I don't know, like in my mind, it's quite amusing.
Yeah, it is good, but clearly some of us don't even know what the saying actually
That's
is.
That's fine. I also enjoy being confusing to people.
Well, it doesn't confuse me because I go, there's Andy just saying a saying.
Alistair, you don't realize it, but you're confused.
I'm not.
No, I'm applying the cloak of confusion to you. It's a thing that is applied aftermarket by me in a shop. I'm just trying to...
Yeah, that's fine.
Baffle. Post-market bafflement.
Yeah, that's cool. You're bafflement adding.
How funny are on-road costs? Don't answer me with words. I just need a number. How funny? Between 1 and 10.
I would say 7.
7. It's quite a funny idea, isn't it? On-road costs. Well, I don't know if it's a funny idea, but definitely they're words that we hear enough without really knowing what they mean for them to cause me amusement. And I
definitely
have an instinct.
Yeah.
I have an instinct that there's a comic... something in there. Like on-road costs. I mean, including on-road costs.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what are on-road costs? I don't know. I presume the cost of the car. That's a pretty significant on-road cost.
Yeah. I think that was still on lot.
That's an on-lot cost. All right. Change the idea. I'm going to make a character. He's called On-Lot Cost.
Oh, that's his name?
On-Lot. On-Lot is his first name. Cost is his surname. Onelot Cost, antiques dealer and barefist fighter.
What? You know, that's good. I was trying to change it to Costa Onlot.
Costa Onlot?
Yeah.
No, that's my evil cousin from Peru.
Onlot is such a Norwegian or Swedish sounding word, is. Isn't it?
Onlot.
Onlot.
Yeah. We're not suggesting it is a Norwegian word or Swedish.
For all of those people who were really offended by that, well, I'm from Norway and I don't think the Onlot sounds at all like Norwegian.
Oh, I know I've got not a Norwegian accent. I'm very aware. You think you could get away with growing up...
Hello, 20, hello, hello.
25... You don't need to tell me, mate. You think you can spend 48, 70, 106 years in Norway with this accent and not have someone point it out to you? All right?
Look, oh, no, I'm fucking...
You're not the first.
Yeah. It was sort of like a Josh Thomas accent in Norway.
In Norway.
Where he's like, oh, you sound kind of... What's that area? It's not pikey. Seems like it's a weird racial slur. What's the one? The allow, allow, allow? It's the cockney.
Cockney.
Cockney. Cockney. Cot. Is it cot cock or cock?
Knee. Cockney.
Cock?
Knee.
Okay.
Cockney.
I know, but I'm not sure whether you're just finishing the word or... What are you noticing on that?
I'm noticing that I think that my levels are much, much higher than yours.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I think your microphone might not even be switched on.
Really?
So let's just do an experiment. I'm going to be quiet. You talk.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello, 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 hello. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Yeah,
does that work?
Okay. Yeah, look, it was certainly an interesting time in my life.
Yeah, okay.
If not in the life of the listener. Your microphone was on.
Yeah.
It was turned down a bit more than mine.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, I'll fix
you know,
it in post.
I'm a person who is quite accepting of a lower status.
Yeah.
In many situations, I have chosen to make myself...
not heard.
No, but like at least I accept a underling position because it means people are kind of kinder to you.
You also have less responsibility.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, but also people are kinder to you, so they might give you stuff. It's all selfish.
That's the thing that no one ever says about being a dictator. Mm. Like, it's a lot of responsibility.
I know, but if you don't do it right, what are they going to do?
Well, cut your bloody head off, probably.
Yeah, well, it depends. They got to get organized. You know how rare it is that like all the people get organized?
Yeah.
We've been seeing more now, but like, you know, with what's the Ukraine and with the Arab Spring and stuff, people can be getting more organized. But it's still hard to make it. You know how hard it is to make it happen here in Australia.
Yeah, you know how hard it is to get this podcast going.
Yeah, very
hard.
Like
to get both of us in just the location.
Yeah,
the mood.
I see. Yeah,
the special pants we wear.
Absolutely.
To record this podcast.
The face paint.
The face paint.
The offensive face paint.
Yeah, those listening to this purely on the audio version and not actually watching the live web stream might not realize that this is a racist podcast.
Yeah, they don't realize.
That is a huge part of who we are and what we do is the racial element.
And if you have been missing out on that, I can't believe you've been missing all the subtexts and layers that this podcast has. I'm even amazed why we release it in purely audio when so much of the enjoyment really comes from the visuals.
Certainly from my point of view.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I make a resolution that from now on I'll mention it in the opening. The racist show where we come up with 5 sketch ideas.
Yeah.
Do you think you could be racist without ever saying or doing anything racist? Like, I am a racist. Let's just get that out of the way and then you just
I've got
live
work
the rest
to do.
Of your life. Right, and you never discriminate. You don't act it out. Right? You don't you probably even think it, but you are one.
Yeah, look, it's a difficult thing, Andy, because I would say you are what you do.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would say because all these inner thoughts and stuff like that. They're just the debate. Like if a country has a big debate.
Yep.
About.
Yes, go on.
Let's say like
foreign aid. The correct response to the most recent explosion of Krakatoa.
Yeah.
Heard over 7,000 kilometers away on the other side of the Earth, cutting the dose the atmosphere in a thin layer of volcanic ash, reducing sunshine to all areas of the world and causing a global ice age.
Dimming.
The country has an internal debate about that. Alistair, continue.
Wait. The country has a debate about that?
About that, about the correct response.
Okay. And they, let's say they have a debate and they decide, should we... We're doing actually better than a lot of other countries. Should we just use our resources to help ourselves survive?
Yes.
Or should we help other nations as well who are not as well prepared as us?
Or as fortunate because we're quite close to the equator for the most part.
50% of the people who are like, let's not help anybody. Mm-hmm. Fuck those people. Mm-hmm. Screw everything.
Yeah.
Right? Other than us.
Let's just look out for number one.
Look out for us. Let's fix everything at home before we think about helping anybody else.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. That's why you do up your shoelaces before you leave the house.
Exactly.
It's basic.
You're looking after number one.
Number one, right? And his shoes.
You're putting on your mask before you put on the little kid's mask.
Number one and his size 11s.
Yeah. So...
I just upgraded myself by two whole shoe sizes in that scenario.
But they win... to help other people. That's the debate is won by the people who say they help other people.
Mm.
Right? In that case, are they a good nation? Like, have they... Because they do good things and they help other people.
Yeah.
But there's still that internal monologue that's like, we shouldn't help anybody.
In the internal monologue, which in this case, it sounds like it might be approximately an internal 21 million-a-log. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Within the mind...
Mm-hmm.
You go through a bunch of options. There's random ones that are thrown into the mix because your brain is just testing you.
Yeah.
Hey, what if you just kicked him in the face and ran off? Hey. What if you made a farting noise? Come on. What if you did something extremely rude and illegal?
Hmm? Yeah. That's the internal monologue.
Yeah, it's the internal monologue. Yeah. The only one that makes it through is just to buy another packet of chips and leave.
Yeah.
I think that is just. I can't remember how we started this conversation.
Well, it's about. It was me saying you are what you do.
You are what you do. Okay, you're right.
So I think because
you are what you do. It's like a closed system,
right?
And the output of the system is the only thing that matters.
Exactly. Yeah.
You are what you do. I think a scenario or a sketch, right?
Do you think we should come up with a sketch,
Alistair? I'm glad you're on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on that page, I hope you've got the pen ready because I can pretty much remember what I was about to say.
It is up and pointed at the
page. We see a scenario. A person is asked a very simple question or presented with a very simple situation.
Okay.
And we merely hear every single one of their thoughts as before they perform the action, right? So it's a sketch in which, like, every possible outcome is explored in their mind, all the weird ones. There's a few twists and turns that come in, right? And then we see the result. Because you often see that thing of, like, you know, the angel and the devil on the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think it actually is. It's much more of a senate.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, there's more than two options. There's
so
more
many
than,
options.
Yeah. Because there's good and bad, but then there's also a lot of bad that
an
you can do.
An endless spectrum.
Yeah, and a lot of good.
There's a lot of good.
There's a lot of good you could do.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad, but there's a lot of good you could do right now.
You just need to take action right now.
The way I would see it is,
as the decision has to be made, so some kind of scenario occurs between people, or between a man and his environment.
Painting very broad strokes here now. Yeah. I like it.
A man in his environment, or a man and a person, or a man and a person in an environment.
Great.
And
hang on, Alistair. I feel like you're painting me into a corner.
No. There's a lot of possibilities where this could happen, right?
Well, you're painting me into an environment.
Something happens, and then you get that kind of like good super slow-mo thing going right now. So it goes like that.
Really good. Like we're watching a tennis match.
Yeah, and not only does the whoosh is the sound of time slowing down, but it also zooms you into their head.
Yes.
Right? At the same time. And then...
Face. Let's say face. Head.
Yeah. Sure. I would say face is where the head is. Home is where the heart is. Face is where the head is. And so then...
Carry on.
And then as it slows down, that's when you can get the inner monologue clicks in. So as you see, like, the jowls sort of slowly kind of...
I don't know why he's moving his face so much during this thought.
Yeah.
But, no, but they, it's yeah.
It's just part of being alive. Yeah. Your face moves weird in yeah. super slow-mo.
Yeah, great.
You can't. You don't realize, but your skin is constantly shifting like the tides mm-hmm. and the dunes of...
It's like an electron zipping around the atom.
Absolutely.
Okay, it gives the illusion of a cloud
Of electrons. That's what my face your gives face the illusion of. Is a
constant flux of expressions giving merely the illusion of calm... benevolence that I recognize as Alistair.
So, should we write that down?
Yeah. Okay. It's like every single thought guy, right?
Yeah.
Where you hear every possible option going through his head.
Okay. Super.
As
slow-mo.
He is presented with a very basic. Every single thought guy.
Every.
ESTG. Estiger. Let's call him Esther. Esther, the every single thought guy.
Is Esther a man's name?
No.
You'd write it with a H in there as well, wouldn't you?
I would.
I had a school teacher in year one that was called Elliot, which is a very French name. Elliot. Ah. You don't really get that much in English. Elliot. Maybe you do. Never encountered one.
I don't get it that much in English.
Yeah.
I don't know what your experience of the English language is like.
Yeah.
Who's to say that if the blue you see when you see a blue is the same blue as I see when I hear the word Elliot?
Elliot. Because we all experience the same synesthesia.
Yes.
The teacher next to us was Estelle. That's all I had to say. You can just say your thing out loud.
No, I'm going to write it, make a note so I can remember it for later.
Andy, you can... What did you write? You wrote 1D?
I wrote 7D. Because I wanted to bring up the 7D cinema that we saw when we were in Tasmania.
Oh, my God.
This is following on from the, I believe it was the 4D cinema, 5D, 5D cinema that we discussed in an earlier podcast.
Yeah.
While we were in Tassie, Alistair and I, we walked past the 7D cinema. I mean, like, they've got a whole extra, like, there's a whole extra 5Ds. Oh, they've got to occupy... Somehow,
it's.
I mean, okay.
I still don't know
what do you got. Okay, you've got your sense of.
Wait. Let's get the 3Ds, three spatial dimensions.
Okay, so you got up, down, left, right, forward, and back.
Yeah.
Three. Okay, that's three. Counted four. Four.
Four.
That's smell.
Well, did we count time? Because I feel like all cinemas are 4D if you count time.
No, all cinemas are at least 3D if you count time.
Really.
Yeah, because most cinemas aren't 3D. Most cinemas are 2D.
Oh, 2D, yeah. Okay, 3D okay, if you
so
count 3D, time.
Most are 3D, and then actually really 3D cinemas, they're 4D, and then you've got 5D, that's smell. 6D, I guess, then gets you to people pinching your legs.
People pinching your legs.
But what is the 7D? Is it your sense? What's it your sense of? What are you detecting? Okay. Larrikinism? I think I'm sure I've mentioned this, the fact that I feel like there's a part of my brain constantly dedicated to knowing if there's any tea left in my cup.
Yeah, it could be that.
It could be that.
Yeah.
So you just really got a really, I got a real sense of how much tea was left in the cups of all the actors.
What about sense of fullness? You know, like how full you are?
Yeah.
Is that count as touch? Because that's inner touch is a weird one.
The thing is that inner touch.
Inner
yes.
touch.
I wouldn't think of myself as touching my food inside me. But I guess I am, like, how I know I'm full. But like, there is all these others, like temperature, that's not even on the five senses, is it? Like,
well,
no,
I think when they say that we have...
Touch.
Is it five senses? Yeah, because
yeah,
it's a sixth sense, yeah. So there, people who know about, like, who are anatomists and work in science and body-related fields, you know... they all kind of go like, yeah, we don't have five senses. We have like 10 or something like that. Because there's like balance and then there's your...
Proprioception.
Yeah, and then there's your sense of whether somebody else is gay and like, you know, and like how, you know, feeling how dry your eyes are, yeah. And the furriness of mouths, you know, there's a sense of furriness.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a hangover.
Yeah. Hangover is a sense. Yeah.
That's a sense. That's a sense of what happened poisoned. Last night.
Yeah, there's a sense of regret.
Mm-hmm. Sense of pointlessness.
Sense of things dragging on.
Sense of sensibility.
You know what I thought, what I saw some of, which I thought, I'd never seen any Jane Austen stuff. And I saw some Pride and Prejudice.
Okay, what did you see? Did you see the Keira Knightley one, or did you see the older one, Jennifer Eyle?
It was
the BBC production.
I think it was a BBC production.
With Colin Firth?
Yeah.
Absolutely, in my opinion, the definitive Pride and Prejudice. Okay. Really a fantastic series.
Well, that's the one that they've made, the statue of what's his name, like in a river somewhere.
Colin Firth, Mr. Darcy, coming out of the river, his shirt's open. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, okay.
I've come over all
Why
flushed.
Didn't anybody say that it was funny and that it was good? Like, I just assumed there was this whole genre of stuff that was only enjoyed by women. Right, that was
there.
Like, I know, but I'd never seen a guy say, oh, fucking,
it's really funny,
yeah,
and really good.
Well, why hasn't any man ever said
because,
like,
we howl them down,
Pride and Prejudice is good, right? You understand, like, I've never seen a man refer to Jane Austen in any kind of positive way. It's why has this never come up? Because I know I watch
you
it
feel
and I go,
ripped off.
Yeah, and I go, this is genuinely good. This is not like watching Mamma Mia, which was like, my mom loves it, but it is awful. It is
dreadful.
Of a storyline. It is dreadfully executed. The only thing that is
the performances
fun,
are terrible.
The performance, the singing
sets.
Is terrible. Like, yeah, it's.
I've got a good feeling that the catering on Mamma Mia was subpar. That's how bad that film is.
The only thing that was good is that those people mostly got a free trip to wherever that is at. But it didn't even seem like they were getting great weather the whole time. So even that would have been a bit of a bummer. Right? And they were probably having to live in caravans, which you probably can't. If it's actually set on an island, you can't even get that many caravans there. Cause
you can't
just
get that many caravans.
It's cost
there.
Prohibitive.
And it looked very hilly. So like they're not going to be sleeping on a level.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Anyway, so Pride and Prejudice was quite good, quite funny. There's a lot of great jokes in there, none that I can remember currently.
There's the mother who says, "Oh, Mr. Bennet." That's very funny.
And
I
just
like,
her
she's great.
Being,
she is a perfect character.
Yeah, her being so angry at Mr. Darcy and everything like that. That all seemed very good.
I don't think we're doing justice to these jokes, really, in the retelling. if we got together around the water cooler the morning after the appointment viewing that was Pride and Prejudice, and you tried to remind me about the time she was so mean to Mr. Darcy and stuff, I don't think I'd laugh out loud.
But it's weird that it's like it seems like it's making fun of that time. See, nobody ever told me that it was kind of making fun of that period and the culture of that period.
I guess it was satire. Right? Yeah. Like when it came out, Jane was probably having a bit of a satire.
Yeah.
The old satire.
Somebody should have fucking told me. Why am I 31 finding this out? I mean, it's fine. That's not that old. But, I mean, it could have gone on if my girlfriend and her mother didn't have a tradition to watch at least some of Pride and Prejudice every year at Christmas Day.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So is that a sketch?
Well, I think a man who stands up in public and loudly proclaims the fact that he actually Pride and Prejudice is really quite good.
Yeah. But it's ridiculous. All right. Well,
yeah.
So a guy who gets essentially my genuine feelings?
Yeah, I think pretty much exactly what you described, right? Maybe he confronts his friends at like a pub or like a social event, or he invites them all around. You know, yes, it's my birthday, but really, I brought you here to talk about something that's actually very uncomfortable for me to bring up. It's just been brought to my attention that Pride and Prejudice is very good.
Yeah.
And none of you said anything to me. none of you, and you are my friends.
he goes
my
around
close
the
friends, Dave.
Dave, have you seen Pride and Prejudice?
Yeah. You have. Why didn't you say anything? Tom, you and I often talk about 18th century literature. Often. It comes up in conversation. Not once you didn't think there was... I don't know what century it was written in. I'm sorry, Alistair. I think it's probably 19th century, but
Andy,
I get confused
Andy,
by the numbers and that you've got to subtract one.
Andy, as you know, I'm upset that anybody still uses the century format of talking about hundreds
1900s,
of years.
1800s.
Let's just do
2000s.
I don't need anything where we're going...
2100s.
Okay, oh, it's the 20th century. Okay, so I know that that's minus one.
It's
so
definitely
we'll
one different.
Century.
Is it add one and take one? And then you... yeah. What is it? What day of the week is it now?
20th century. Like, how against maths is that? It just feels against math.
I mean, it feels like
to say the number 20 and have to picture the number 19.
It's a little test. It's just a challenge because life is hard. there's all the possible universes. We're doing another multiverse mention.
Yeah.
We're just name dropping the multiverse, guys. I don't know if you know about this, but I know the multiverse. Multiverse is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the number one.
It's pretty big.
It's a multiverse. Sorry, I'm changing the subject because I can't remember what I was talking about.
No, well, can I continue? It's some guys who just travel to another universe.
Great.
And then they go, oh, well, we haven't had that since the 20th century. And then they go, what is that?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in another multiverse, where that, like, you know how like there could be a universe in which 2 + 2 = 5. There's just another multiverse in which the laws of mathematics are just slightly different. I don't know how, because it's impossible to even conceive.
Where there's
no
zero
this multiverse, there's no zero.
There's no such thing as nothing there.
Yeah.
There's only every like. There's only something.
One.
So there's no such thing as even the concept, and even if you introduce it, it doesn't even fit somehow.
Is it like Korean or something where when you're born you're one? That makes a lot more sense.
When I had an ex-
when you were born in Korea,
I had an
how old were you?
Girlfriend who at one.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Point she turned like 24. Or she turned... Yeah, I think she turned 24. And then her mom said, no, you're 25. And she goes, what? Yo, you're 25. I've been... I didn't tell you, but I've been counting your age wrong.
Was she Korean?
No. But
oh, well, that really would have helped me.
Yeah. No, but it was Taiwanese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But she, like, was it a cultural thing, or was she just counting her age
wrong? I think
wrong?
From that point on, she was like, she was trying to not count zero. I think she was trying to count zero as one. So she kind of like, she's just really fucking with it. She's like, because... How fucked would that be, somebody just telling you're actually 1 year older? I think that would be more dramatic than most people I know dying from it. They're just going, you're actually 32. And I go, well, I was not prepared to deal with this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know most people I know died yesterday, but now you've really knocked me for six.
Yeah. I thought I was dying young, but now I'm not dying middle-aged.
All
right, guy who travels...
To an alternative multiverse. Not an alternative multiverse. Let's just say an alternative universe. I think an alternative multiverse is a little strong.
I mean, you don't need to go that far.
We've really pulled out the big guns.
You don't need to travel through infinite universes to get to another multiverse.
Another range of infinite universes. Yeah,
to do that.
Yeah.
There's enough. I think one multiverse is actually enough. But if you really think about it, there's probably more than one multiverse. I mean, if there is a multiverse, then there's probably more than one multiverse.
Look, Alistair, I don't see any reason to disagree.
Yeah? I'm so glad to have you on my side. I would say that there's a multiverse. What do you think about that?
Well, I think a multi probably falls within the... Does that fall within the remit of the multi? Like a multi-multi. That's a multi. Like I if know. You're a multi-multi-millionaire, like you're a multi-millionaire.
I know, but Andy.
If you're a multing millionaire, well, you're probably some kind of horse in winter.
The Wikipedia page that we saw today, like list of lists of lists.
List of
lists
of lists.
Right? That's not just lists of lists.
Well, it is.
I know, but if you saw that, you wouldn't go and click on that link. It was just a list of lists.
I wouldn't click on a list of lists.
Yeah, but you would click on a list of lists. Of a list of lists.
Now, yes, you have my attention.
Yeah. If you're anywhere near a computer, and as long as this is not being listened to any time before 1990, I'm sure you are. Look at the Wikipedia page for the list of lists of lists. Cause
it's just satisfying.
There's something in some way. Satisfying. Because there's so many types of lists. Like, there's like top 100 best films. Lists. So then you click on that list and it's just got a list of lists of the top 100 films. You could compare.
So good.
You could find the best film from all lists.
Oh, the best list.
Yeah.
You know who does a really good list of the top 100 films of all time?
Who?
No, I don't
Wikipedia.
Know.
Wikipedia.
Yeah. Something like that.
What? Okay, wait. It was they go to the different universe?
No, oh, yeah. They go to a different universe where the 20th century is merely the 21st century or something. I don't know. The 20th century is the 19th century. The 20th century is the 19th century.
The 20th century is the 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Correct.
We did it, Andy.
We did it. We got it out. Alistair, you know how, like, there's that Godwin's law, any internet argument will, like, the longer it continues, the more likely it will be that someone will mention Hitler.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's Godwin's law. And after Godwin? That, the conversation...
Not Godwin Gretsch. Okay,
no.
Continue.
No. There is also Godwin Gretsch's law, which states that any conversation about Malcolm Turnbull's career in the mid-2000s, if it goes on long enough, will eventually mention Godwin Gretsch. But that's a very different...
Oh, that's very amazing. Different law. So that was while he was leader.
I don't know if he was leader, Malcolm Turnbull. Maybe he was leader. It was definitely a fucking weird time. Malcolm Turnbull was the one who brought up the allegations from Godwin Gretsch.
Right. Okay.
Not that I even remember any of the details, except that he had an amazing name if you live in a swamp.
And he looked weird.
And he looked weird.
Like he could live in a swamp. Anyway,
like he
continue.
Could live in a swamp. Amazing face if you live in a swamp. But I think I've got a similar theory about our conversations in the multiverse. Like the longer any bit riff goes on, the more likely we are to wind up in the multiverse.
Yeah, but that's a good solution for a lot of things. It's a problem that fixes a lot of things. The unlikeliness of things happening is solved by a multiverse.
Does that mean that if Hitler had not existed, that all internet conversations would continue forever? Like, we kind of need the existence
we
of Hitler,
need
in
Hitler
order
to stop conversations.
Just so that we know when to stop talking about things on the internet.
I know, but imagine where it would go to. Where would it stop?
I don't know. Maybe there would be something else that would be ultimate stopper. Think, like people compare things to Genghis Khan.
Do you think if there was a Hitler of numbers?
Okay, I'm very interested in what the fuck that means.
Yeah. So if there was a Hitler version of a number, so a number that...
A digital Hitler.
Yeah, some kind of like a number Hitler, then pi would stop at some point. Like, pi is kind of like a conversation that never stops in terms of its randomness.
Right.
Of
it's an internet thread that you could just scroll through forever.
Yeah, it keeps going and it just goes back to 9, then it's 3 again, then it's 4, and it's 5, then it's 6, and then it's
so
1, and then 0, and...
And then it's 4, and then it's 4 again, and then it's 4, and then it's 4, and then it's 4, and then it's 4, and then it's 12.
Even if you only had 9 12? Or 10 things to talk about... You could talk about them endlessly if there was no Hitler.
If they were on the internet.
On the internet. Oh, silly.
But I was wondering if there was a sketch in the idea of, like, that along the way, there are other things that come up.
Yeah.
That aren't that. Alistair, stop looking for your pen.
Okay.
You put it in the put it in the microphone stand for some reason, it's going to be really difficult for you to get it out.
No, that's okay. I can handle it.
That, like, if there wasn't Hitler, like that there were other things that it would inevitable that like would come up in a particular conversation, like, you know, Irish setters,
potato famine,
the Irish potato famine, all right, and like the let's see, the Transformer of Bumblebee and
wait, the Transformer of Bumblebee?
Bumblebee, the Transformer.
Is that an actual character?
In Transformers, there's a character called Bumblebee.
Really?
Pretty sure.
Because the Bumblebee is the least threatening of the bees. It is the one that we take for granted. We go, well, I'm definitely not going to get stung by that because it's a dumb old Bumblebee. It's actually getting fat shamed. The Bumblebee gets laughed at.
Bumblebee.
Yeah, for being wide and like not like a thin, strict, regular bee, the raptor of bees.
That thing. If you heard that thing about how like scientists can't explain how the bumblebee is able to fly,
yeah.
Doesn't that feel a little bit like fat shaming? Like the scientists were like, "Well, we can't even work out how you stay in the air."
Is that a fat joke? The bumblebee is getting bullied by science.
By science.
We can't even... Physics! The laws of physics!
You shouldn't even be able to fly. That is a sketch.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Is it a court case?
Where bumblebee is, like, suing science?
Science for discrimination?
That's entirely possible. Like, harassment or bullying in some way. Or maybe it's just a scientist has been introduced to speak at a conference about something to do with the bumblebee, and they just get up and they just make far too many uses of the phrase "fat, fatty, fat, fat" in their presentation that it kind of undermines what they were trying to say in the first place. That's all I'm saying. Bumblebees.
Bumblebee. All right. We did it. We did it, Andy. We're on 4. We still have one more to go. Even though it feels... Have we been talking for a long time?
36 minutes.
Oh, that's not even that long. This is actually way shorter, and we've only got one to come up with.
Yeah. Like how that bumblebee one. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. I think that's good. I like that too.
I feel like I was on my way to somewhere else.
Yeah, and
when I got distracted by the bumblebee. Bumblebees, but you're right, they are the least threatening.
Oh, you were onto something.
I was talking.
When did you bring up the bumblebee?
I was talking about Transformers, but the.
Oh, yeah. But bumblebee, like the Transformers.
The bumblebees, like, there's a bee called the Killer Bee.
Yeah. That's probably the velociraptor of bees. Yeah, and the velociraptor isn't even the velociraptor of dinosaurs, because the velociraptor is that small one. The balls of fucking, what's his name?
Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Check out the balls on Spielberg.
The balls on Spielberg to take a dinosaur that doesn't have as aerodynamic a name, which I can't remember, but the one that the raptor actually is.
Mm-hmm. Tetraheptorhinodon.
Yeah, and put the name of this little dinosaur on it, little chicken-sized dinosaur, onto it, because it sounds better. To just fuck with everybody's understanding of things. Maybe that should just be...
How dare he? He was the real one playing God in that scenario. Not recreating life from 3 billion years ago. The cojones on Spielberg.
On this guy.
To change the name...
Yeah.
That someone else made up.
Well, to be honest, because I'm a big believer that the dictionary is just a record of the words that people speak when they have used the language, right? It's a record rather than a reference guide. It was first written as a thing that's like, oh, well, here's the words that we've come up with so far. We should actually take a written down record, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people take it down like that, right? So... Technically, because Velociraptor gets used so much to mean the big dinosaur that looks like the Velociraptor mm-hmm. in Jurassic mm-hmm. Park, that's just what it means.
Right.
So
and what it means is what it refers to, and that's what it refers to.
Right, yeah. And so the other one, who is the smaller dinosaur that is actually called, that was originally called the Velociraptor, that is just now something else.
Yeah.
maybe the dinosaur.
Maybe it's called the little dinosaur. Yeah.
Raptor.
Exactly.
Or it could change its name to a symbol of some sort.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or it could go on an extended hiatus.
Yeah, and then release come what back, some consider to be a very good an album. With the photo of somebody doing a parody of the Velociraptor that it used to be called. Possibly of one of the raptors that we now call raptors on it as the album cover.
That would be a real power move.
That was Dave Chappelle on the cover of the Prince album.
Really?
I didn't know.
The latest Prince album has Dave Chappelle on the cover.
Well, or an EP or something like that. He released and he had the photo of Dave Chappelle as Prince from the...
That's really good.
Yeah, and as his album cover.
That's quite fantastic.
That's if you're a personality in the fame world, that is one of the best skills to have, is to take a joke about you and absorb it and accept it as...
And grow stronger,
yeah. You get bigger.
Yeah. Well, that is kind of like... if you've seen X-Men First Class... No, yeah. Not First Class. X-Men Days of Future Past. There's those, like, sort of big symbiotic robot things. I can't remember what they're called.
Sure.
Sentinels. And they, when you fight the X-Men, they learn from their skills and they learn to... You know, they absorb their powers in some way or something.
Yeah, they absorb their powers and they become resistant to their powers. Yeah.
So it's like that.
And it's like
just
the Borg
absorb
where
it.
They just
take it on board.
They all learn it as well.
Yeah, or Star Trek, like William Shatner, who just became a sort of a joke parody of himself and did very well out of it. Thank
Hasselhoff
you all the same.
Kind of like that.
Hasselhoff, yes.
Yeah, a few people like that who just like the joke is on them, but then they just absorb it as being a part of them. I think you can't fight it.
They've almost become something bigger than themselves. They've become a symbol, like Batman. You know, the theme song for Batman was done in one time by Prince. Thank you.
Is that actually the case?
Yeah, he did the Bat Dance.
Really?
The Bat Dance is... You've got to go and watch the film clip for the Bat Dance. It's the most... And I advise this to the listening audience also.
Yeah.
Not just the watching audience of Alistair.
Sure, but I'm happy with that.
But
it's just nice to see you in that face, in that kind of makeup, face makeup.
Face makeup. The Bat Dance with Prince, doing the Bat Dance, singing the Bat Dance, Bat Dance. It's pretty great.
Okay.
It's crazy. Many costumes are worn.
Yeah.
Many poses are thrown.
Is Batman in it?
You know, I can't even remember. I think maybe at one point Prince is dressed as half Batman, half the Joker.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like Two-Face.
Yeah.
Was he just Two-Face?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Prince. I don't know, is there a sketch in the way that Velociraptors are like Prince?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Alistair.
Or not the Velociraptors, but the little ones that were originally Velociraptors. Not the ones that are now known as the ones that are formerly known as Velociraptors.
Formerly known as Velociraptors. No. Again, all I can see is like a... Maybe there's a scenario in which some actual dinosaurs have been brought back from the dead?
Maybe.
Extinction?
Yeah. Extinction,
resurrected in some way.
But I guess it's still just bring...
And there is a...
They're being born anew.
And I feel like maybe this joke has been done on the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Simpsons. Tell me, please correct me if it has. But there is that some people are being pursued. Somebody says, look out, there's a Velociraptor coming. And then a nerdish character who has the same complaint as Alistair engages them in a debate as to whether or not it's actually a Velociraptor and then gets eaten by the Velociraptor.
It's interesting because as you were saying that, the way I thought that was going to go is... So let's say the debate about it has already happened at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, but maybe it would just have to be maybe in a way that somebody... You'd have to assume a lot of people know this actual fact.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody said, look out, there's a Velociraptor coming. And then somebody kind of went, oh, and then they stopped running because they weren't afraid anymore because it's just those little shits that you can just kick away.
Yeah,
and then he got attacked by like
a large
Spielberg Velociraptor.
Yeah, in which and from this object lesson, we learned that knowledge is not power.
It was the knowledge
too
that
much.
Him. Yeah.
It was education.
It's the man who knew too much too.
Two. Have you seen that movie with Bill Murray?
No. Is that the man who knew too little? I would love to see that.
It's actually quite funny. I mean, I saw it. I think I drank a lot of Coke. And that tends to make me laugh a lot more in films.
It would, yeah.
But I believe that to have been quite a good movie.
What about... I think maybe the idea with that sketch is because it's kind of so... It requires such a specific knowledge. Afterwards, there's just scrolling text explaining the joke.
No, you could do it that way. I think in my version... The fact that the guy actually goes ahead and explains the difference between the Velociraptor. Well, are you referring to a Velociraptor as portrayed in the Steven Spielberg popular series of films Jurassic Park, which was not actually what is scientifically referred to as a Velociraptor, a much smaller and... Oh, my God! I'm being torn apart by a Hydrodiptodon!
Yeah, maybe that is much better. Than a guy getting attacked and then nobody not really knowing what is happening.
See, what you've done there, Alistair, is you've tried to remove any of the information from the joke.
I know, but I just thought it would be really enjoyable for the people who know the information.
Oh, they would experience it 1,000 times.
But then it would become that enjoyable for people who rewatch it, who had watched it once before with the scrolling
text. Seen the
text.
Wikipedia link that you put on the page,
I reckon
visited
you just
the page,
have it like,
read the information
I reckon
with
you
some
just have
of the references.
The information scrolling Star Wars style.
Explaining the joke, which is always good.
Yeah, I think it's like the placebo. I think even if you know you're using the placebo, it still works. And I feel like that's one of those situations. It's like listening to Todd Glass show and them re-explaining the bit and trying it again, and it's still funny. I think everybody's sensitivities with the fragility of comedy.
Yeah, are probably false.
It's like we're all parents. It's like we're all overprotective parents of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, no, don't hurt it.
No,
it's
don't
just,
do that. It doesn't like it. It doesn't work if you do that.
It doesn't, yeah. Oh, you got to be so careful.
Or
with
it's like an old, probably like a 52-year-old father with a really well-maintained, like, old Mustang.
Yeah.
Like, being worried about how people are going to use the gear shift. And the clutch, and let's say it, the radio knob.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said it, Andy.
And by radio knob, I mean Kyle Sanderlands. Hey. Boom! That was the last episode of the Two in the Think Tank podcast.
We're going to wrap this up
now. That's what we've been building up to this entire time,
and
Andy's
so the whole time.
Radio knob gag.
Finally, we needed to... You know, when you create a series, let's call it what it is.
It's a series.
It's a series.
We always had the end in mind.
There's some twists and turns along the way.
It's obvious, you know, I don't know if you've seen Lost. They didn't really know what the ending was going to be, and they stretched it out. And obviously, people were unsatisfied. But we, from the very beginning, knew exactly the podcast where we try and come up with 5 sketch ideas, and at the end I say Kyle Sanderlands is a knob.
Yeah.
And it's good. It gave us a long, as we were writing each episode, because we do write the episodes in advance.
We pre-write everything
We pre-write
that's been
every
said
single
tonight.
Word. We, every, and tonight, yes, indeed. We it was good for us to know where we were ending up so that the characters could be consistent, so that the people listening, and if you were really paying attention, you probably would have picked this ending already, but like just so that people had that in their minds, it's good for the audience to be able to get ahead of the actors or the performers.
Absolutely.
That would be Alistair Tremblay-Birchall and Andy Matthews.
Yeah.
In this
I'm
case,
I'm playing Andy,
you're playing Andy, and I play Alistair. It's good for them to get ahead of the actors and the performers and even the characters,
yeah,
but not actually the writers. The writers always have to be one step ahead still. So, if you were ahead of the characters, well done.
Congratulations.
I think it should be pretty clear that they didn't know where it was going. But if you were ahead of the writers, then congratulations.
Congratulations on all of you. Thank you very much for listening.
I'm going to go back into character now.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back as Andy now.
Yeah, okay,
all right,
great.
Here we go.
So yeah,
okay,
I think
here it is.
It's been Alistair. Do you want to take us through the sketches
for today? The sketches for today are
this evening's sketches.
Okay, wait. Super slow mo. So what happens is super slow mo. Then
maybe
every
we call him Mo.
Guy,
maybe his name is Mo.
Yeah, it could be. No. His name is Esther.
Mo, the every Esther. Single thought guy, Esther.
So it's he's about to do something. Random situation, man dealing with environment, man dealing with a person, something is about to happen. Then you hear all the inner monologue of all the possible options of things that a man
before he does the thing
or woman goes through like that.
Can I just add in something?
Yep.
The character of Super Slow Mo, though, does in himself seem like a humorous man. His name is Mo, and he's super slow.
Yeah, that's good. It's
and
like,
now it's time for to see that again with Super Slow Mo, and a character comes in, like some scenarios happened, and then a character called Mo comes in. Maybe he has a small mustache, and then he just reenacts the entire scene in slow mo.
Yeah, and it's kind of he kind of reminds me a little bit of Speedy Gonzalez's cousin.
Ah, Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yeah.
So, you know, Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Maybe Senor Bobby's not that mean.
Slowpoke Rodriguez, he packed a gun.
Oh, I didn't know he packed a gun.
Yeah, he packs a gun.
Okay.
I think he shot Sylvester in the face.
Well, Sylvester, any day that he doesn't get shot is probably these days just a real anomaly. A guy who confronts his friends about how no man has told them Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice was good.
Great sketch.
Yeah.
Alistair, you're making a note.
No, I forgot to put the words was good in there. So it was just told him about. Yeah, so it didn't make any sense. Guys travel to alt universe where 20th century is the 2000s.
Great. Yeah. I, for one, would make that one-way trip.
I would abandon my friends and family just so that we didn't have to do that fucking minus one on the fly whilst in the midst of a conversation.
And maybe that's part of the sketch as well, the fact that these people are so willing to abandon it. Like, you realize that this is a one-way trip and you can't come back.
Yeah.
And you will never see any of these people again. Look, I don't give a fuck, all right? I am not deducting one ever again. I'm not going to go through that.
People are willing to risk their lives to go across multiverses.
And look, we don't even know if this machine works. Look, I'll take the chance.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You
Do you
see?
Understand that life is not worth living with this here? I have to do minus one.
Ugh. I can't look at that wife. I can't look at those children without some part of my mind being aware of the waking hell that is this minus one
and that I'm bringing them
nightmare.
Into
that I'm bringing exactly that I will raise them to live in. If I had any courage, I would kill them all and myself, and yet I am a coward, and so I take the coward's way out.
Absolutely.
This machine
to this multiverse, new multiverse. Multiverse.
And then, like, in this multiverse, there's, like, only, like, two people left. Like, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
And they're sitting around being like...
And that's the way that they solved the problem on that planet. They killed everybody else, and then they tried to forget that there was the century system. Yeah. And they said, 20th century, that's the 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, number four is the bumblebee is getting fat-shamed by science, which it says... when it says... Physics can't explain how the bumblebee flies.
Great.
Yeah. And then five is, these raptors, there's a raptor coming. And then the kind of the nerdy guy's like, do you mean the Spielberg raptor or an blah, 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 like that.
Like, it sounds even more like a Simpsons joke when you do it in that voice.
Yeah.
And Mr. Simpson.
And that's
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.